today on Code Pen Radio.
Hey everybody, it's time for Code Pen Radio. This is episode number 193, and this week we're going to be talking about conferences. I'm Marie Mosley, I'm the support lead here at Code Pen, and I have with me today one of our engineers, Cassidy Williams. Hey Cassidy.
Hi there.
And we have our UX designer, Claire Frank. Hey Claire.
Hey.
It is the first episode of October, which means we are also kicking off the October Code Pen Challenge. This month's theme, because it's October, is Halloween, which is a theme very dear to my heart. I chose the prompts this month, so I'm super excited about this one. You can check out the Code Pen Challenge at codepen.io/challenges, and it's really worthwhile to check it out this month because Claire just redesigned the whole page, and it is looking sweet. You did a great job, Claire. I love it.
I hope everybody loves it, too.
I'm sure they will. And plus, this is a great theme. It's going to be incredibly fun to see what everyone does. I'm super excited about it. The first prompt is ghosts, and there's so many fun things you can do with ghosts. So get your pens out there. Let's see them. I'm super excited about the October challenge. But that's not what the show is about this week. This week, we are talking about conferences, and Cassidy is actually just back from a conference. Cassidy, you were at GenerateConf in London, right?
Yes, it was great. It was my first time actually getting to explore London, too, so it was really fun.
Oh, that's awesome. And we have a couple of pictures, actually, that you took in London on our Instagram. If everyone wants to check those out, it's instagram.com/codepen.
Yeah.
Or, you know, on the app, you can just look for CodePen.
Sported the CodePen t-shirt. It was fun.
You did.
Very nice.
Had a beautiful skyline in the background. It was a really, really nice picture.
Thanks. I try.
And you actually did some live coding at the event.
Yeah. And so the talk that I gave, it was all about making art with CSS. That's what I like to do the most on CodePen and just kind of in general. I think it's so fun. And it was something that I originally started doing because I just wanted to improve my CSS skills. I kept seeing all of these beautiful things on CodePen a few years ago, and I was like, you know, maybe someday I'll do that. And then finally, I just started doing it. And ever since starting to just kind of make fun shapes and really starting to get more advanced with it, my CSS skills for actually making layouts and things that are actually functional have skyrocketed, honestly. If I'm tooting my own horn, I apologize, but it's really been helpful for me. And so the talk was kind of about that, and then getting more into the practical side of what tools do you need to use, how would you find things to make, or should you design your own? And then I ended off the talk by live coding Big Ben in front of everyone.
That is amazing. It's interesting that you say that doing illustrations has helped you out with more practical things like layouts. A lot of the time I hear criticism from people about CSS illustrations, just that they're not practical, that they're just kind of silliness. And I get that, but I've seen people really grow after building their skills in illustration.
Yeah.
And things that may seem a little bit frivolous on the surface, you, like you said, you learn a whole lot from it.
Right. And it kind of helps you see things and break it down. That was a whole section of my talk, actually. Like, now when I see aspects of just vectors and different art and illustrations that people have put together, I kind of break it down just in my head. Okay, here's how I would do this, like, trailer. I would make this rounded corner here, and then I would break it up this way. I would probably separate the windows this way. Like, that kind of image in my head is what comes together. And now whenever I see layouts and I'm told to design a specific layout, I can break it down significantly faster because I've had the practice with the illustrations.
That's awesome. And so you live coded Big Ben in front of an audience. I have to ask, like, how much preparation goes into what you're going to live code? Did you have, like, a template ready, or what'd you do before?
I actually had no preparation. And
Oh my God.
So I had four dribble designs that I found. And then to the audience, I said, okay, here are the four dribbles that I'm thinking about making. Which should I do? And I took votes. And then based on their votes, I started.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. So it was very much from scratch with very little preparation. And I didn't actually finish it. I didn't get to do the top part of it just because I ran out of time. But It was mostly there. You can tell it's Big Ben. And then the parts that I didn't finish, I just kind of talked through, okay, if I had five more minutes, this is what I would do here. And then people were able to ask questions about like how to do curves a certain way and how to layer things a certain way. And yeah, it was a really fun time. I was kind of just throwing jokes out there while making everything.
Yeah, I think you get a lot out of seeing somebody else code in the process that they go through, because you can't really see that when you just see the end product either.
Right, exactly. And I actually got that feedback from a few people who came up afterwards saying like, you know, I think I could do this. I always thought it was just really hard and impossible, but that was manageable. And I've gotten a few tweets actually recently from people who said that they're starting making CSS art now because of my talk, which has been fun to see.
Oh, that's awesome. That's right. Yeah. You showed me one today that someone had tweeted at you.
Yeah.
It was like a volcano.
Yeah, it was a cool volcano. They had all animations going in there and lava pouring down. It was cool.
Yeah, that's so exciting to see what people get inspired to do, especially, you're right, Claire, like getting to see someone else code really gives you a perspective on how you could possibly do something. Or I always love when I learn like a new trick from someone. Mm-hmm. Something that just never came up in my experience.
Yeah, there were some really interesting talks at the conference too. Sarah Sweden, you're gonna have to forgive me for messing up her last name, but she gave a talk after me, and she had such amazing tips for improving accessibility. And she was saying how a lot of developers nowadays are using like the new Windows high contrast mode and all kinds mm-hmm. of inverted modes and stuff, so that way they can see sites better. And she actually used CodePen as an example for a lot of her tests on how to test if a site works well. And we actually did pretty well. I was impressed.
Great.
She was very complimentary. She was saying, hey, and see, if you change these sorts of features, you can see that the accent colors on CodePen change and they still work well. Like it was very satisfying and validating to see that we're doing such a good job in that area. But she gave really good practical tips. Like, for example, when you're making a pen of some kind or a website in general, always set a background color, because even though the default background color is white, when someone inverts their colors, it inverts everything. But if you don't have a background color set, you might just end up with white text on a white background rather than white text on a black background, for example.
Huh, interesting. I wonder if that'll come into play a bit more as people are switching into things like dark mode in their OS.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. And so she had a lot of really good tips on how to just like be very explicit in setting certain things and new browser features coming out and everything. There were some really good talks about really practical things. It was a good conference.
That's awesome. So, yeah, as I was saying, the topic is conferences in general. I do wonder a bit about, like, if you have any tips for people going to conferences, you know, how to get the most out of it, how to really enjoy yourself and learn a lot when you're at a conference, especially since you're just back from a big one.
Yeah. And also, I think this past week was the Grace Hopper conference, which is a massive women in tech conference of like 20,000 women and stuff. My sister actually went to that one and she was talking about just how kind of crazy exhausting it was, but really fun. Conference season is upon us. But yeah, there's so many good tips and bad tips with conferences. And I think it really depends on your goals going into the conference. For example, if you're just going to get a job, you're just like, okay, I'm going to go to the career fair they have there. I'm going to talk to sponsors. I'm going to network with people and get a job. Then you really just want to refine the way you talk to people. You want to make sure you always have resumes or business cards on hands to give people. You really want to be able to kind of give a 30-second pitch of yourself and be prepared with that, but also be able to kind of frame it depending on the conference and the companies that you're talking to. And if you're not job hunting and you just want to make really good connections, this is where you have to be ready with your contact information. Even though business cards are kind of like an old thing, people still use them, and I should probably be better about carrying some around with me, but people still pass out business cards constantly, and it's a great way to follow up. And I think the key for no matter what your goal is at a conference is to follow up no matter what. Just email people, say it was nice meeting you, and that can be all you have to say. But it kind of starts a relationship there that you can build off of. And some of my best mentors that I've ever had have been people where I've met them at a conference or a hackathon or something, and I just happened to email them after the event saying, hey, it was really nice meeting you, hope we can keep in touch. And then later down the line, I email them a question, and we just kind of start this relationship out of nothing because we met at this one event. And I think that's the biggest takeaway out of conferences, in addition to the information you might get.
Yeah, I think I would agree with that the best people that I've met in this field have been at the conferences that I went to. They're probably like some of the strongest friendships that I've had too, with people all across the US.
Yeah.
I would say though that I haven't had business cards for like the past 8 years. I never gave them out at conferences and just gave out Twitter.
That works.
Yeah, that seems like a pretty common thing too, that people would just connect on Twitter or maybe LinkedIn, depending on the type of conference that you're at.
Right.
Yeah.
The conferences that I tend to go to are much smaller, more intimate settings where people have much deeper conversations.
Yeah, and those conferences are so nice too, because it feels a lot more like, even though there's all kinds of large conferences that are high quality, it feels like a more quality experience when you have a small one where you can really talk to people and get to know them. Because even though you have a ton of awesome information coming your way, I kind of think of the information at conferences as information that I'm going to look up and research more on my own. Meanwhile, the relationships are something that you really get at this conference that you can start working with right away.
Right. And that's something that you're not going to get through reaching out to people online, or like you might get that if you go to meetups in your city where you are, but it's just something that you're never going to get anywhere else.
Right. I used to be in developer evangelism, and so it was really my job to go to these events regularly. And I have a bunch of friends around the world where I only see them at conferences, and some people where they actually lived in my same city, but I only saw them when I was in Tokyo or something like that.
Oh, that's funny.
And these kinds of relationships, you really get to know people who are interested in the same things you're interested in, and you really just build this community. And there's something that I just really believe where, not only in tech, but in any industry, if you have a community around you, you're more likely to stay in that field and be successful in it, because you have people who can kind of give you sanity checks, can have your back when you are in a tricky situation, who can refer you to different places when you need a new job, who you can just be friends with socially too. And those kinds of communities can really be fostered at conferences and started at conferences too.
This episode of Code Pen Radio is brought to you by Netlify, our good friends at Netlify. So cool. Let's talk about one thing that Netlify, a brand new thing, can do that's really cool, which is cloud functions on Netlify. So I think a few weeks back, you heard Marie and I talk about serverless and the whole world of that, which cloud functions are a part of that world. If you've been a longtime listener, perhaps you know that a lot of the pre-processing stuff that we do on CodePen, we do on AWS Lambda, which is a cloud functions service. So it does things like, you know, process our less and our babble and some things like that. It's very powerful, very cool way to work these days. And now Netlify is offering AWS Lambda functions right on Netlify, meaning you like have a folder with all your functions. They're literally JavaScript files that export a handler, kind of Node.js stuff. And they automatically become like URL-ized functions that you can use in your app. So Netlify is like a static web host, which is super awesome, and there's lots of advantages to that. But you might be thinking, you know, my projects can't be static. You know, I have a super dynamic website that needs to do fancy things. Those two things live together. That's the Jamstack. And the idea is, you know, you can have all the benefits of static hosting and all the dynamic stuff you need to through cloud functions. So I know it's a lot, but here's like one quick example hopefully I can get through, which is this idea of like, let's say one of the dynamic things that your website needs to do is like send a text message through Twilio or something. So you need to use like Node APIs to, you know, you need to kind of a URL to hit to send the SMS message, and you want to use Twilio to do that, but you have your Twilio API keys you need to protect, so you kind of need to do it server side. You can't do it through client side JavaScript. How do you do that? You set up a cloud function to do it. Your API keys are protected. You've made your own little mini API to do it. That's the kind of thing now that you can do right on Netlify. So you can, and it just brings all the power of Netlify. It's just great. You got to go check it out. Thanks, Netlify, for sponsoring this week.
One thing that I've seen about conferences also is that you can kind of get an overview of an industry just by checking them out. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, you can, even if you're just like watching a video that comes from the conference, like you can get a real feel for what the vibe is like in that trade just by checking out the conference. Or even if you're able to go to one, I know a lot of the time a conference is too expensive to go to just casually, but you know, just finding out the speakers, getting information about who are speaking at different types of conferences, you can kind of get the sense of what it would be like to do something. So if you're just beginning in front end, you know, checking out a conference for a library that you're interested in, or a type of front end development that you're interested in, is actually worthwhile too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, totally. And I think, like you said, being able to identify those trends kind of helps you. It helps you decide where you should start learning something else. Where if I see that I'm very much a React developer, but suddenly I'm seeing all of these talks on Vue, that kind of tells me, I should probably start getting to know what this Vue thing is, because my next job might be using this framework or any other technology that they're talking about. And it's a good thing to kind of, yeah, get a feel for the trends and kind of be ahead of the curve in some ways as you're learning.
And Cassidy and Claire, you've both done talks fairly recently, and I'm curious about, you know, we talked a little bit about preparing to live code, but just preparing to give a talk in general. Like, I have done one talk ever, and I would actually really love to hear from both of you. Like, how do you prepare to give a talk? What's your process?
I find it incredibly difficult. So I'd say, since I'm a designer and I'm going to design conferences, the talks that I'm giving are not live coding or even like the type of things where I go through and I show my work the majority of the time. So I have to have some conceptual basis to my talk, like some sort of idea that I'm trying to get across that I might have been thinking about for the past few months, or I might have heard about, that I really think our industry should pay more attention to, and that thing we should dig in and learn more about. So I would start with a few ideas for that, and then see if I could do a lot of research on what have people been saying about this. Is this actually a common thing that I haven't been paying attention about, and nobody really wants to hear about this? But just starting with a bunch of research and then conceptually framing out this idea and basing it with some instances of the work that I've done, if that makes sense.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And you did one recently. What was the event? It was a Dribbble event, right?
Yeah, it was Dribbble Hang Time. Awesome. Here in Seattle. And I talked about how to balance UX research with the sort of intuition that you have as a designer.
Ooh, that sounds interesting.
Where are you supposed to use which one? How it can't be one or the other. It has to be some sort of balance between the two.
Hey, that's fascinating. I always wonder about that with the UX field. Like, how much of a hunch do you go with?
Yeah,
because
sometimes
it's a good question.
Completely wrong, but sometimes it's worth it.
Right.
Yeah, and I like also that sometimes you just have to take your own opinion and kind of take your own counsel on a thing and guide yourself. So I think that's really interesting.
Yeah, that's really neat.
And Cassidy, of course, I'm curious how you prepare for your talk.
I am not a very good preparer. I don't think anybody should do what I do for preparing
talks. That doesn't sound true.
I have done enough talks where I kind of generally know how I will go about giving a talk. And so I end up just waiting until the very last second to prepare. And I know I shouldn't. It's a bad thing.
Really?
But
That doesn't sound like it, you.
I know. And a lot of people actually say that. They're just like, yeah, I don't believe you for a second. I am terrible at preparing for talks. Like there have been some talks where like I'll pitch the title of the talk. I won't even pitch like the actual content or what it'll be about. I'll just pitch the title. And then like the night before, I'm just like, well, crap, now I've got to actually,
I feel like that's how I was too.
Yeah, there was a talk that I gave in New York City once where they asked if I would speak and I said yes. And then like 2 weeks before the talk, they said, hey, can you give us your talk title? And I said, JavaScript pizza. And that was it. And I had no idea what I was going to talk about until like 2 days before the conference. I was just like, what was I thinking? Why did I say JavaScript pizza? And I was just completely in a panic because what the heck do you do with that? But I ended up, it was a talk about generating SVG graphics with JavaScript, and I live coded a pizza on stage. So there you go.
There you go.
But
that's pretty good.
Yeah, luckily I've gotten a little better than that. But the way I prepare is typically like, depending on the event, sometimes if I'm applying to the talk, I actually like flesh it out and talk about what I will, I'll give it a like a bulleted list outline and an abstract and really talk about what I want to say. And then other ones where they approach me saying, hey, can you give a talk on something? And then I'll give them a few like high level topics that I could talk about. They typically pick one and I'll say, cool. But for every single one of these events, my slides are always done either the day before or day of the event. And for example, with GenerateConf, I hate to say it, but I did my slides like after I landed in London, like 2 hours before my talk. I found that it's not because I'm a procrastinator, I promise. I've actually found that I do better when I don't rehearse too much, because when I rehearse too much, then I've found that I get nervous about missing something and I kind of stress out and I'm just like, okay, did I hit that point? Or wait, was that when I rehearsed or when I'm actually talking it now? But when I don't rehearse and I just kind of go up there with the slides that I threw together, then that's when I produce kind of my best work, because I'm making sure I just hit all of the points that I want to hit without remembering what I covered in my own little rehearsal. And that's my method to my madness. I don't necessarily recommend it to people, because especially with live coding, you should probably know what you're doing before you live code the talk. But that's how I approach it. I approach it with very little preparation and then a lot of just shoving my brain into slides.
Well, you had some preparation in that you've done a bunch of CSS illustrations before. So
that's a key. I only talk about things I know. So if I don't know the topic very well, then I actually do have to research.
I feel like it's much, much easier if you feel confident about the things that you're doing. And if you're talking about something that you've never talked about before, even with having a conversation with another developer or designer about, that it's so much more difficult.
Exactly.
Which is why I usually rehearse things.
Yeah, I always do stuff that I know a lot about, because then I can be that person who I am in preparing my slides.
See, Claire and I are on the same page. When I'm getting ready to do CodePen Radio, I just rehearse the whole thing and I just pause for a while and just fill in what I think the other person is going to say. No, just kidding. This, I kind of fly by the seat of my pants as well. Cassidy, one thing I wanted to ask you, I was scrutinizing the photo of you at GenerateConf doing your live coding, and I was wondering, were you using presentation mode in that photo? I could only see the bottom, so I wasn't able
to tell. I meant to. I was so excited to use presentation mode because I have it now that I have a pro account, and I forgot at the last second. But I know that you can use it, and it looks so pretty, and I should have done it, but I did not.
So presentation mode is the secret feature of CodePen. Yeah. This is one that, you know, you cannot be blamed for not knowing about this one, because it's a tricky one to explain if you're not thinking about it in like conference context. Like, presentation mode is designed for showing on a very large screen. It makes it so that the header area all disappears and you just have your code panels and your preview. And you can zoom in on the preview, you can zoom in on the code, and it's just perfectly set up for giving a talk about your pen or about your code, and almost nobody uses it. So we need to evangelize presentation mode a little bit more. Chris designed it from his vast experience with giving talks about code.
It seems great. I actually, again, I guess I'm a really bad employee, but other people who are using CodePen at the
conference.
You're
new.
Other people who are using CodePen at the conference did use presentation mode. So there are
great.
Those out there. I was just, flying by the seat of my pants, like you say, and forgot to enable it. Next time.
Yeah. Every time I see CodePen on a big screen, I'm like, did they use it?
Please.
I know I got to get the word out there better. Claire, did you know about presentation mode?
Yeah, I haven't used it for anything.
Yeah.
I haven't been coding in presentations for anybody anytime soon. But
Next time.
I'm always psyched when I do see it. I've seen a couple times people use it in classroom settings, and it's super cool to see it like up on like the bigger screens up at the front of a classroom, front of kids and stuff. Super cool.
Yeah, I could see that being really useful in classrooms.
It's great because you can zoom right in on the code, too. So not just on the like actual finished preview, but just like to go line by line through something. Super cool.
Okay, next time.
Before we wrap up the show, do you two have any suggestions for like a killer tip for going to conferences? Just like what to bring with you, what to do?
I would say meet some people who you just don't know at all because they're going to surprise you and you might become best friends.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's a great one. Mine is a little less nice, and mine's more just bring a lot of water and cough drops because you will be talking a lot and your voice will go away. And so really just be ready to speak a lot to people around you, get to know different people, and be ready to nurse your throat afterwards.
And of course, my tip is use presentation mode.
Hey!
Hey, so that's our show for this week. Check out the challenges. Again, that's codepen.io/challenges. We have the Halloween challenge rocking now. Thanks for listening, everybody, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
8, 8, 6, 1, 3, 2, 9, 7, 1, 3, 2, 9, 7, 6, 0, 3, 1, 8, 6.